Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel here at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis, Missouri. The text is John, chapter 7, verses 40 through 53, and the Reverend Sean Denzer is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from John, the 7th chapter. When the crowds heard these words, some of the people said, "This really is the prophet." Others said, "This is the Christ." But some said, "Is the Christ to come from Galilee? Has not the scripture said that the Christ comes from the offspring of David and comes from Bethlehem, the village where David was?" So there was a division among the people over him. Some of them wanted to arrest him, but no one laid hands on him. The officers then came to the chief priests and Pharisees, who said to them, "Why did you not bring him?" The officers answered, "No one ever spoke like this man." The Pharisees answered them, "Have you also been deceived? Have any of the authorities or the Pharisees believed in him? But this crowd that does not know the law is accursed." Nicodemus, who had gone to Jesus before and who was one of them, said to them, "Does our law judge a man without first giving him a hearing and learning what he does?" And they replied, "Are you from Galilee too? Search and see that no prophet arises from Galilee." And they went each to his own house. This is the word of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. They don't like Galilee, do they? I think we know the historical reasons why. It's a backwater place. It's indefensible militarily. So it's constantly overrun and destroyed. So guess what kind of people must be there now? The people who have to, I guess. When your economy and your people get overrun, pushed around, worse over the centuries, of course, tends to harden you, impoverish you. Nobody cares about Zebulun and Naphtali and Issachar as tribes. And now, since the Assyrian conquest, there are no such tribes anymore in Israel. The Hebrews from that region were scattered. They were infected with Gentile blood. They're mixed peoples. They're mixed religion. They're half pagan. They're the people of the land. And that's a slur for Israelites. They're low status, they're low intelligence. You heard it. They're ignorant of the law. They're accursed. Nothing good comes from Nazareth. Search and see. No prophet arises from Galilee. But look where the man comes from who is drawing the crowds when he tried to come secretly to the Feast of Tabernacles. This is the same event as on Tuesday. Their smugness is on display in John's gospel, the smugness of the Pharisees, but Jesus' true identity is being revealed for us over and over again to believe in him. We're here in Passiontide. We are all pressing on toward Christ's cross outside Jerusalem, and that means that this pride of the Pharisees is coming before a great fall for them. All while the one that they finally will take down with the help of Pilate, of course, is going to rise again and be vindicated. Search and see, because a prophet does arise from Galilee. Jonah, son of Amittai of Gath-Hepher in the land of Zebulun. We heard about him on Monday. Jonah might have sided with the Pharisees even if he were around at this time, based on his sermon, based on his opinion of the Ninevites. But remember that it was those Gentiles in Nineveh who heard and believed his preaching. And like the Galileans to whom Jesus preached, they followed. Galilee produces prophets who enlighten those who are in darkness. Search and see that more than a prophet comes from Galilee. Hiram of Tyre, he is the one who traded cedar and gold for a rule of 20 of those Galilean cities, cedar and gold with which Solomon built the temple of the Lord. So now it is that the true Hiram and the greater than Solomon has come among us, a man who comes to tear down the smug temple of faithless Israel and rebuild it with choice material out of Galilee, his own body. And at last, search and see what the great prophet Isaiah says. In the former times, the Lord did bring into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. Yes, the Christ indeed comes from Galilee. He shines his light, he pours out his water to drink on his people. Why the wild ones are the ones who hear him and the civilized people do not? That is a question worth asking. But it's a question that will not be survived by smugness. The Pharisees are united in their hatred of Jesus. The people are divided a bit by the hearing of Jesus. They're not divided because they're foolish or clueless about the law. They believe the law. They believe it with expectation. They're looking. They ask, is this the prophet? They mean, is this the one like Moses, whom Moses said God would raise up, whom they should listen to? The words that prompt their reaction today from Jesus are when he says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Because Jesus is the true spiritual rock from which Israel and his church drink. And he's more. He not only mediates God's word like Moses did, he is the one Moses talked about who is filled with the very own words of the Lord. No one ever spoke like this man, is what the report comes from the officers. The division is not among the people, it's between them and these high priests and Pharisees. Jesus is the Christ, and he is the prophet. They're both right. He is one with the Father. And then into the story comes a familiar character. We know his name, Nicodemus. He's one of them. He's a Pharisee. He is an authority of the Jews, and he is just as wise as the rest of this council, except, of course, that he had already been shown to be foolish before. You remember it. He was shown by Jesus when he came to him at night in John 3 to be a very sorry teacher of Israel. And so this, which I don't know if we know very well, this is a really delightful and encouraging vignette for us. We see that Nicodemus, who had failed so greatly in chapter 3, is not doomed. Nicodemus came that night quite smug, I would say. But as the Proverbs teach, when he was corrected, when he was rebuked by Jesus, he received it. And then he became wiser still. And we will hear about Nicodemus a third time, as you probably know, next week, when he publicly shows himself at the end of John's Passion to be a follower of Christ, and he comes bringing the means for an honorable burial of Jesus, however short-lived. Here, Nicodemus, today, rather than twisting the scriptures and rather than mostly assuming that he knows them best, he actually remembers and cites the scriptures and applies them. Does our law judge a man without first giving him a hearing and learning what he does? You see, already he is condemning the kangaroo courts of Good Friday morning. Already, yes, he's seeking due process for Jesus. But it's more than that. Nicodemus is pointing to the wisdom of those Galileans and all the believing crowds, because they are giving Jesus' word a true hearing. It must be so. If Jesus is the Christ and the prophet, this is what Moses said about him. The Lord will put his own words in this prophet's mouth, and he shall speak to them all that God commands him. And whoever will not listen to the Lord's words that he shall speak in my name, then the Lord himself will require it of him. We've observed this same teaching and instruction over the past weeks as we observe all of these plots and schemes that are building toward our Lord's crucifixion. The Word of God, when we hear it, judges and divides. It cuts. It cuts, of course, deeper than just between factions and groups of people. It pierces beyond families and opinions. It cuts us right to the heart. A smug and a stubborn heart is not hard enough to survive that encounter. But those who hear it, for them, this cut becomes a surgical incision on the way to healing. For them, it is a light that does not scatter and expose you like a cockroach, but one that enlightens you. This is the way of Christianity, dear friends. Search the Scriptures and let them dissolve your smugness, your pride, your contempt, your self-satisfaction, your disdain of simple people. And dare, like Nicodemus, to give this Christ a continual hearing and to see him. O Lord, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead us. Let them bring us to your holy hill. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.